Prologue, July 1912. "Run, baby girl, run," Mama screams from her grave. "Run!" And I be fast, too, lickety-split like she always say. Rocks and shells cutting at my feet as I claw my way up the hill. My breath all hitched and raggedy when I make the rise and creep under them trees that's always so sweet and piney-smelling. My thinking trees, Daddy calls them. Through the branches I can see him and Willie being marched down to the cove with the others. Willie spittin' and fightin' good as any man, though he ain't but six. Daddy gone all quiet as he peeks back to where I'm hid, his eyes catchin' mine like they do, telling me to stay put, stay quiet, that he'd be back for me. "Run, girl!" Ain't but half an hour since they come poundin' at the door. The door Mama always said ain't nothin' ever come through but bad news. Daddy awake first, slipping that old suspender over his shoulder as he picked his way past us in the dark. Willie still hard asleep on the cot, but me, I saw Daddy's back go stiff. His eyes turned hard when he opened up, the faces of them mainland men all twisted and ugly with meanness, looking me over like they ate something bad. It was then Mama told me to get. There's more of 'em moving up the hill with their torches now, putting fire to houses I've been in and out of my whole life, laughing as they step round Sally's baby, plopped down in the dirt, flapping her hands and crying, all big-eyed scared. I look to the graveyard where our people is buried, 100 years worth, maybe. Mama laid out just last winter, not a week after baking me my 9 years' cake. Places in here I know where to hide, places I can stay till Daddy and then come back, feeding myself on fish and berries, lying in the sun. "Hide!" Mama begging me now, but my feet don't listen, my eyes still caught on Daddy and Willie and the man pushing him hard toward the boats. Willie crying, which he don't hardly do no more, even when the cat up and killed her kittens for no reason other than they's getting on her nerves. I'm turning to make for the graveyard like she say when I'm took up sudden from behind, a big man hand slapping hard over my mouth, hot words whispering in my ear. I kick the air, claw to get free, Mama's voice fading into Willie's crying, and the hoarse shouts of ugly men, my heart like to burst till the darkness take me down. Chapter 1. Email from ajackman@cambridgebooks.com to nora2736@yahoo, paddlechick@hellerfamily.net, lily@killabookdesign.com, and shellybelly@AOL. Okay, gang, this is my final email before I see you all on Saturday, promise. And Shelly, what's this shit I hear about you bailing on us to work on the relationship? Damn, girl, how can this new man, whom none of us have even met, be worth giving up an entire week on the island? Seriously, put the boy toy on hold and get packing. Remember our deal? Everyone comes back. Once an island woman, always an island woman. Just got off the phone with Margot about the cell service, and yes, it still sucks. And since there's no electricity for charging out here anyway, what do you say we leave the damn things home this time? Lily's idea, actually, and I think it's great. Just putting it out there. On the plus side, Brother Drew has had the propane tanks filled. The gas lights that were on the Fritz last year have been replaced. And while the broiler on the stove still goes out any old time it wants, Frosty Frida and that temperamental pilot light of hers are finally gone, replaced by a brand new gas fridge. We've got a couple new carts for lugging stuff this year, too, the larger ones that carry two of the water jugs at once, which means fewer trips from the well up to the birches. I can hear you all groaning now. Just think of it as your aerobic exercise for the week. Except for Margot, who will probably hike 10 miles and kayak around the island twice each morning before the rest of us are even up. More good news. As of this week, there are new futons in two of the bedrooms and a new sleeping hammock on the south-facing porch. And we finally tossed the moldy-smelling mattress that was in the twig and brought in two singles. Still a squirrel problem down there. Who wouldn't want to make their nest in that sweet little cottage, right? So I'm thinking Britt and Lily should probably take that, since Lily's bringing Gus again. The scent of a dog always keeps them away. Reminders. It can go from hot to chilly and damp in a matter of minutes out here. Remember last year? So think layers. A bathing suit, if you absolutely must. We'll be totally alone, and I, for one, plan to give these lobstermen an eyeful. As far as dinners go, Saturday night I'm making that Thai chicken salad you all liked so much. Margo's taking Sunday, which leaves the rest of you to work out your place in the rotation. Remember that you're responsible not only for the meal, but the wine and munchies for cocktail hour. See my last email. There's that supermarket just off the highway and the little gourmet place for provisioning, or you can wait and make a trip later on in the week. As always, bring your own stuff for breakfasts and lunches, etc. What else? Books, of course. Wine, wine, and more wine. Is there ever enough? And we can always use more candles and lamp oil. High tide on Saturday is just before 2, which is when I'll be at the boat ramp. Please be on time. Seriously. Maneuvering a boat full of people and gear to the island is a lot easier if you don't have to pick your way through rocky ledges in an ebb tide, especially if the fog starts rolling in. I'm sure you'll let me know if I've forgotten anything. Remember, this week is yours to do whatever, without the distraction of men and other assorted children. Ha! Oh, and a caveat to that long list of things I just suggested you bring? Remember, it's a good half-mile slog from dock to house, and the only person schlepping your stuff will be you. Guaranteed. Have to run. Got a new author coming in for a reading. Island Women Rule. Adria.